Hey, it's Mastin. Welcome to the Mastin Kid Podcast. If you want to take your first step on your trauma-informed journey, come to claimyourpowerbook.com and get my book, Claim Your Power. There are a bunch of awesome free bonuses with that, including a 40-day coaching journey with me that will get you started on your trauma-informed path. Claimyourpowerbook.com. Enjoy. It's awesome. I put my heart and soul into it. And if you want to really start your journey to do your trauma work, claimyourpowerbook.com is the place to go to get my book, Claim Your Power, and to get a bunch of free bonuses, including free coaching with me for 40 days. Please enjoy today's episode.
Who here has ever seen somebody be triggered by something that doesn't trigger you? Has ever happened? And vice versa. Who here has things that trigger you that don't trigger other people, right? So we have to understand how the nervous system works in step one. The emerging cutting edge science on this is polyvagal theory. We introduced polyvagal theory to the coaching space. We've been teaching it longer than the Polyvagal Institute has been around. And Stephen Porges, as I shared with you in the first workshop, has endorsed our next book, which is really a beautiful thing. And so polyvagal theory is the science of the autonomic nervous system to make it safe enough to change your life, to heal, to grow, to restore. The majority of people are using polyvagal theory for therapy, for healing, not for growth. And so we want to understand how the nervous system works, both to release the past and build a new future. And when we really look at your nervous system, not just the nervous system, but when we look at your nervous system has a certain capacity for these different emotional defenses, anger, grief, sadness, intimacy, closeness, et cetera, excitement, all those different things. And so what we want to build is meta-affective awareness and skills. So what that means is in polyvagal theory, we basically have a stoplight that's inverted. So we think about green at the top, yellow in the middle, and red at the bottom. And the red part of the nervous system is your dorsal vagal branch. And that's part of the parasympathetic nervous system. It's below the diaphragm. And this part of the vagus nerve is responsible for dissociation, checking out, immobilization, et cetera. We move up the nervous system to the sympathetic nervous system, which is primarily up and down your spine. That's fight or flight. That phrase was coined in the 1920s, I believe. Okay, but the sympathetics go up and down your spine, which is mobilization. Then we have the ventral vagal branch, or green, which is, you know, more of a regulated nervous system. We have health, growth, and restoration that becomes possible. We get our prefrontal cortex online. And what we have to recognize is we go from green to yellow to red, based on how much challenge we experience. So we drop down states based on how hard things are. And the way to maintain green or yellow instead of red is to not do it by yourself. Polyvagal theory helps us understand that co-regulation is a biological imperative. So we have to understand how this nervous system works. And then we have to understand what makes you green, what makes you yellow, and what makes you go red. What makes you check out and go red, dissociate and check out and avoid? What makes you go yellow, which is fight or flight? What makes you feel green? What makes you feel safe, right? That also has a physical component to it. So there's emotions associated with each nervous system state, and there are physical sensations associated with each nervous system state. We want to understand that. And each nervous system state has a corresponding mindset, right? So in dorsal, the mindset is, life is too dangerous, I can't go on, or something like that. The mindset of sympathetic is, I'm overwhelmed, this is too much. The mindset of ventral is, what was I worried about the whole time? Life is great, right? And so it's important to understand that each state, red, yellow, and green, has a corresponding physiology, nervous system response, body response or somatic response, emotional response, and thinking response, that all of that manifests in different behavioral responses based on what's happening in your life. And so as you increase challenge and make life harder, we drop down in states based on the response to how hard things are. And so it's important to understand that when we talk about meeting your nervous system, we have to both understand how the nervous system works and then how your nervous system works, because we cannot change anything until we understand how it works. Does that make sense for you? And not how it works for somebody else, but how it works for you. Y'all with me so far? Is that making sense? Yes? Okay, perfect. So I'll give you an example, okay? So when we look at Dan Siegel's work with the window of tolerance, right? Some things will make you go into a regulated state here. If you go too high to hyperarousal, you get fight or flight, right? I'm unsafe. I feel threatened. So there's certain things that make you feel this way. And there's certain things that downregulate you into dissociation or hypoarousal, where I'm, avoiding and now I'm too overwhelmed, I freeze. So we want to understand what keeps you in this zone. And then guess what? Then one of the things we're going to start to do is push you slightly outside the window and start to expand your window of tolerance so we can widen your window of tolerance. Widening your window helps you build more capacity. Does that make sense? So that you're not as, you don't have to be taken out by things that used to take you out. You can navigate the challenge of these states more. Does that make sense, y'all? Is that tracking? Y'all tracking me so far? Okay. Beautiful. So that's step one. That's just step one. By the way, most people never do step one, but they do all these modalities first. Like, let me go do cold plunges and saunas and psychedelics and stuff like that. I've been doing a lot of research in the psychedelic space. There is no conversation about the nervous system in that space. There's no conversation about the nervous system in most spaces. So it's important to understand that we need to know how the nervous system works and then how your nervous system works, first and foremost. The second step then, okay, exactly, Donna, high-level coping. The second step is safely navigate hard emotions and discover your window of tolerance. So now we have to understand what are the things that trigger you to create too much hyper or hypoarousal and to create a plan to challenge and expand your window of tolerance. So here's how the nervous system works. Here's how your nervous system works. Based on that, how can we start to challenge you? Because we're coaches, we're not therapists. We're not mental health people, right? We are not medical people. We help you grow. If you want more life, more money, more love, more joy, more of everything, we have to build more capacity, which means we have to challenge you. But here's the thing. We don't want to challenge you to a point where you collapse or burn out. Some of you push yourself so hard until you burn out. And you're like, Mastin, don't challenge me. Jenna, don't challenge me. How could you? Right? And it's like, wait a minute. We're not talking about overwhelming your system, but we are saying let's slowly build more capacity. Just like if you've never worked out, we're not going to put you in the gym to bench press 500 pounds. That would hurt you. Who follows? This makes sense, right? So we want to increase that challenge over time. Third is to discover your triggers and the emotions holding you back. So this is the part, okay? Step three, this is the part everybody wants to dodge. Nobody wants this part. And I'm going to be honest with you. It would be easier for us in terms of sales and marketing to lie to you and tell you that this step isn't here. It'd be so much easier to be like, manifest the life you want. Just feel the way that you want to feel. And if you don't do it, then you don't love yourself enough. Like, it'd be so easy. People eat that shit up. It's just not based in reality, right? Who here has ever had this happen, by the way? Where maybe you go on a manifesting journey or you go on a personal development journey and all these people are saying you're supposed to feel it before it manifests. And you're like, wait a minute, I feel like shit. I don't feel good. I feel stressed. I feel I'm. And then the worst part is you assume you must be doing something wrong. Who am I talking about? Does that make sense? Right. And like, honestly, do we really need to outsource the blame of your life to Mercury? I mean, come on. Do we really need to do that? Like, Mercury did not put your nervous system in retrograde. Okay. So, what this means is on the third step is we want to understand what is holding you back. We want to pinpoint the specific emotions and triggers that you've been avoiding. And this is the part where, honestly, a lot of people aren't able to do this because one of the reasons why it's so predominant to just be like, feel it before you manifest it or whatever is because those people probably haven't done their work to know how to sit with hard emotion, to sit with stress, to sit with grief, to sit with sadness, to sit with the uncomfortability, being excited, right? Or being joyful or feeling good about yourself, right? And we want to understand, okay, here's what I've been avoiding emotionally. And then what are the emotional, somatic, and cognitive defenses? So when I go towards grief, I don't want to feel grief. How has my mindset changed? What do I avoid? How do I check out? By the way, one of the ways in which you have a defensive response is called attachment styles, right? So anxious attachment and avoidant attachment and disorganized attachment. Attachment theory is getting more and more popular. Avoidant and anxious and disorganized attachment styles are ways in which your body avoids certain emotion, just different strategies, right? And there are body-based somatic strategies. There's mindsets. There's emotional strategies that we use to avoid those different emotions. So we want to understand, here's what I'm trying to avoid or have been avoiding. Here's the way I defend myself somatically, emotionally, cognitively. And then here's the thing. When I think about the parts of me that have been keeping me safe, what are the positive intentions of those parts? What are the positive intentions? Because here's the thing. What a lot of people will do is they'll say, example, Joe Dispenza. He instructs people, for example, to say, find a feeling bigger than depression. Find a feeling that's bigger than depression. That basically tells the parts of you that hold the emotion of depression, you're not welcome here. Get out of here. It basically exiles those parts. It says, you're not welcome here. And so, again, it's understanding the framing of the modality. Joe Dispenza is not trauma informed, even if he talks about trauma and adverse experiences, because nobody who knows how the nervous system works would tell any part of them to find something bigger, find a feeling bigger than your trauma. Like, what are you talking about? No. What's so hard about turning towards the depression? What's so hard about turning towards the sadness? That is the corrective piece. And so we want to understand that, like, wait, every part of you has a positive intention. And that inner conflict happens when you want to go this way and that way because they don't know how to both be safe. The part that wants to move forward, the part that wants to keep you stuck, doesn't know how to both of them be safe. And so it's important to recognize in the third step that there are specific emotions that you've been avoiding. We want to understand the emotional, somatic, and cognitive defenses, the ways in which you defend yourself, and then step into self-compassion and say, ah, this is why you feel that way. Makes total sense. And it's not about problem solving yet. It's about understanding why you do what you do. Who falls? Does it make sense? And not just why you do what you do, but why the different parts of you do what they do, right? And that's an important step to understand. The fourth step is now we can get into rewiring, okay? This is where we get to get into rewiring your nervous system to create healthy emotions, confidence, and self-love. We start building capacity to express and receive the expression of avoided emotions. So part of the way that we build capacity is you start to express the things that you previously couldn't. Woohoo! It's actually very powerful, right? This is the equivalent of no longer being emotionally constipated, right? There's certain emotions that are hard to express. We want to start to express them and receive people expressing them back to us in a safe way. We want to make these emotions safer to express and safer to receive. We also want to, believe it or not, create a positive self-image of yourself and reduce the reliance on others to regulate you. So here's where we start to split with a lot of people who get polyvagal theory wrong. A lot of people, when they talk about polyvagal theory and co-regulation, in fact, let me just check in. Who here has heard this term co-regulation? Yes? Okay. Perfect. Okay. Co-regulation is the mutual sending and receiving of safe signals. Codependency is making somebody else your regulation strategy. Okay. So the point of co-regulation is not to create additional dependency. The point of co-regulation is to help you know that you are not alone in what you're struggling with. The parts of you that are holding things are not alone, which helps you better self-regulate. Who follows? Does this make sense? So the purpose of good co-regulation is to create more agency, more control, more self-regulation. The problem is that a lot of people don't like taking responsibility for their reactions. And they say, Mastin, that's too much self-reliance. It's like, well, no, hold on a second. We're not teaching codependency. We're teaching co-regulation, which helps you know that you're not alone and helps you better self-regulate because you know that you're not alone. And the parts of you that have felt alone know that they're not alone anymore either. And so you build capacity to be able to express emotions that previously were dangerous to express. You're able to receive emotions that were previously dangerous to receive, and you start to build a positive self-image. In fact, I'll use this wording. You're going to learn to tolerate feeling better about who you are. You're going to learn to tolerate giving yourself the win. You're going to learn to tolerate celebrating how far you've come. You're going to begin to tolerate accepting that you're a good person. Oh, no. That's in no way. I can't do that. Right? It's like, yes, in the beginning, that positive self-image is hard to experience. So we do say you have to tolerate self-love. Who follows? Does this make sense? Very important to recognize that. Okay. And as we do that, we start to restructure the defenses and of the avoided emotions into healthy responses and healthy emotions.
Hey, it's Mastin. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. And before we wrap up, if you found value in this, one of the best ways to get this trauma-informed information to the world, if that's something that you want to do and to be a part of, spreading the word, I would be so very grateful if you could leave a review on Apple or Spotify podcasts so that you can review this, and hopefully it's a good review, but please leave an honest review. And especially if you want to leave a 5-star review, I would be super stoked on that. But of course, just make it honest. But my goal is to share more trauma-informed information with the world, and I need your help to spread this information, and reviews matter. So if you feel called to do that, would very much appreciate it. If you got value from this episode and from this podcast, we very much appreciate it. And thank you so much for hearing me out. And if you feel called, please leave a review on Apple or Spotify, and we'll see you in the next episode.